You're listening to More Perfect Marketing, the show for business owners and entrepreneurs always on the lookout for smart marketing ideas to keep their business moving forward. And now, here's your host, David Baer.
Well, welcome. You are listening to another episode of More Perfect Marketing. My name is David Baer, and today I'm super excited to have with me as a guest a guy who is a former birth control factory security guard. But there's actually more to that. Before you go, what? What are you talking about? He also became a Disney leader in the world of Disney, and we'll be talking a lot about Disney, I imagine, and subsequently became a bankrupt, out-of-work executive, and then a carpet cleaner. And now he is working in the world of helping entrepreneurs themselves and businesses and organizations through everything that he's learned in his professional career. Welcome, Vance Morris, to More Perfect Marketing.
Thank you, David. I appreciate that. I was glad you kept going and didn't just stop with birth control.
Well, I love when you supplied the funny but true bio to introduce you with. I far preferred that versus the other one, and I thought, why not leverage it?
You know, anything you can do, I mean, hey, here's marketing lesson number one, right? Anything you can do to, one, get your audience's attention, and two, be different from everybody else, as long as it's true, you know, I say grasp onto it and use it.
Absolutely. So as you know, and as our listeners know, I really focus on talking a lot about a strategic approach to marketing and to operating your business in general here on this program and in the work I do. And I know that's very much in keeping with the stuff that you do, particularly now where you are helping businesses and organizations by systematizing a lot of what they're doing. Do you want to talk a little bit about what you do now and how you came to this work that you're currently doing?
Sure. You know, I think one of the things, and this would be one of those 35,000 foot overview kind of things, is trying to get companies and the businesses I work with to truly understand what business they are in and to really come up with what is their mission. You know, Disney has a very simple mission, and that's make people happy. That's it. Any minimum wage employee can wrap their head around, oh, I got to make people happy. Okay. Now, I'm sure they have that dreaded mission statement. It's probably in a 6-inch binder on a pedestal out in, you know, Los Angeles somewhere. And we all have them. But I mean, I go to clients' offices all the time and, you know, I say, oh, so what's your mission here? And, you know, Harriet's trying to look around me at the desk because the mission statement is posted on the wall behind me and she's trying to read it. So nobody knows what your mission statement is, but your mission is something that everybody strives to achieve. Break it down a little. So maybe you don't own a roller coaster or a theme park and you're like, well, that's great for Disney. Well, in my carpet cleaning business, we are creators of the healthy home. So my guys can wrap their head around that. My clients can wrap their head around that. An orthodontist, same thing. I worked with one guy. His mission was to create 1 million smiles. So your mission has to be bigger than your actual job. So while your job might be to clean teeth, your mission is to create 1 million smiles. You know, for, you know, Disney, you know, it might be the guy's job to sweep the streets, but his mission is to make the guests happy. And that whole thing will break down or won't ever occur unless you have a process behind it. And that's one of the big things I learned at Disney is that they have a process for everything. You want to change a bus tire? There's a process for it. You want to deliver food through room service? You want to run a ride? Everything's got a process. And that really got me thinking because you think about a lot of the big companies out there, that, you know, like the big ones like McDonald's. Now, their product aside, you've got to admit they've got an incredible process. because they can take those little 16-year-old pimply teenager prepubescent kids, and the hamburger is going to taste the same in New Jersey as it is in Idaho. So they've obviously got a process that continues to deliver a consistent result. And I think those are the two big key things that I took from Disney.
You started off by talking about how businesses are really in the business of doing something very different from what I think most business owners think they're in the business of doing. And so I want to just circle back to that, because look, this is something that you and I have both had hit over our heads by that grumpy sounding guy with the mustache. And it's something that more businesses should be aware of. By the way, if you don't know who I'm referring to, I'm just not going to tell you.
Fair enough.
But this is, I think, something that a lot of businesses don't clearly recognize. But as soon as they understand and embrace what you've described in terms of how to think about your business and what you're delivering to your client, it's not necessarily clean carpets in your case. It's a very different perspective on their environment, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, when we say healthy home, you know, that's, again, something that my guys can wrap their head around, because they know they're going in not just to clean carpet, but to make the indoor air quality better than when they found it. And we arm them with information that they can share with our clients. Things like, did you know your carpet is the biggest air filter you have in your home? Just like any air filter, you either have to change it or you have to clean it. And then people start thinking, oh, wow, okay. And then, you know, we talk about how much a mattress weighs after 5 years and all the dead skin cells that have, you know, increased it by 9 pounds or, you know, things like that. You know, especially like the orthodontist example I gave you, you know, not only were they in the business of creating a million smiles, but they were also giving self-confidence back to people that didn't have it, because they worked a lot with people with cleft palate. So instead of people walking around being embarrassed, you know, they weren't just cleft palate surgeons. They were giving people self-confidence. You know, that salesman who, you know, has crooked teeth and never wanted to smile and his sales were really low. Now that he's got new veneers, all of a sudden he's smiling a lot and his sales are up by 30%. So it's really something that, again, it's a mission for your employees, but it's also a message for your clients and your prospects.
So let's talk about this from two different perspectives, because there's what the business needs to do to implement the type of system that you're describing in terms of internally understanding how we operate, what we do, the things we say, the scripting, the choreography of the way that we conduct ourselves in our business, whether it's our place of business, as you know, might be the case in the orthodontic office, or in the home, as might be the case in your carpet cleaning business, that you're probably doing things in that person's home physically that your competitor, who is a mere carpet cleaner, won't be doing, right? You might be having a conversation or observing things or commenting on things that your competitor isn't, right? So there's that thing internally. And then there's the external positioning of your business around all of these differentiators. How does a business that maybe isn't operating this way get started down the path of repositioning themselves?
Well, I think one of the things I like to do is lead my clients through what we call the customer journey, and then identify each of the touch points or each of the interaction points that your business has with one of your clients. And we map that out item by item by item. Your first item could be, you know, your client gets a postcard. And you want to look at it from the point of view of your client, not from you internally, but okay, so first the client gets our postcard. Okay, well, what does she do next? She calls the office. Okay, what does she do next? She comes to the office. Okay, great. What is she, you know, what does she do next? And on all the way through the entire journey. Then you take each one of those points and you look at it and you say, okay, what are we doing right now when somebody walks into our office? And, you know, everybody say, well, you know, sometimes we look up, sometimes we say hi, sometimes we say welcome. And then you ask the question, well, how do we plus that? How can we make an experience out of something that's mundane that we take for granted that we do every single day? And then you get your team involved in the answer. Maybe, you know, Mary, the receptionist, will say, well, you know, one easy thing I could do is stand up. Okay, great. Let's write that down. And then the next, you know, easy thing is, you know, I can make eye contact and smile. Great. You're already 1,000% better than any orthodontist in your town just by doing those two things. Now, once you've got those two things, then you've got to document them. And this becomes part of your SOP or OJT or whatever acronym you want to use. Mm-hmm. And Disney does this very simply. Because again, if it wasn't a simple system, it would never get done. Disney is run on three words: what to do, how to do it, and the most important column is the why. Why do we do it the way we do it? So it could be to make the guest feel welcome. It could be to separate ourselves from the competition. It could be to promote an upsell. All of those things, the employees, when you do what and how, employees aren't bought into it. They're not bought into it until they get the why. Well, why is the boss want me to answer the phone this way? And, you know, most places will just say, because that's the way we do it. Well, then that's not good. Or if you want your employees to buy in. So. Yeah, you know, do as I say, not as I do. Yeah, because I said so. It's like mom and dad. But give them that why and they will be bought into your mission.
Brilliant. So your specialty is really all about service and delivery of service, but you've coupled that with an approach to marketing that I think many of us don't really think about in our businesses, but should a lot more. And that's direct response. So you gave this example earlier of what we send out a postcard and then the client gets the postcard and she takes an action. Why is direct response so important in your business, in your approach?
Well, certainly, you know, I do not have a bottomless marketing budget like Walmart or Disney or Coca-Cola. And I'm going to hazard a guess that probably most of the listeners don't have that budget either. And they can afford to do what I call pretty picture marketing. You know, they put up a picture of a polar bear and automatically sells soda. We can't do that. With direct response marketing.
But by the way, to prove how effective that is, you didn't have to say what the name of the brand was, because I'm pretty sure everybody knew exactly who you were talking about. But
exactly.
But it took a lot of dollars to be able to put that image in everybody's head.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Millions and millions. And we're not out there. I mean, we don't want our marketing to win awards. That's not what our marketing is for. We want our marketing to bring money in, you know, and like, you know, our friend says, if I'm going to spend a dollar on marketing and I send that dollar out either as a postcard or a sales letter or a video, I want that dollar that went out to bring his little dollar buddies back with me and hopefully bring more than just the $1 that came out. So with direct response, everything that you put out needs to have an offer on it. Now, it doesn't need to be a discount or a monetary offer. It could be an offer of information. It could be an offer of a open house. Any of those things creates an offer. But there has to be an action for the person who's receiving that marketing piece. There's something that they have to do, whether it make a phone call, click a, you know, go to a website, et cetera. We want them to take an action. And for small businesses, I've tried it all. I own I have a franchise business as well that I own. I've tried their pretty picture marketing. It doesn't work worth squat. The minute I started doing direct response marketing, I mean, the business it took off.
I've seen that in franchises where some franchisee will just take a different path and suddenly everybody else is like, wait, how are you doing that? We're still doing the other stuff that the franchisor gave us. So yeah, good for you. So you are running multiple businesses right now. And one of the key businesses that you focus on, and it's, you know, we've been talking around it, but we haven't actually shared what it is using your knowledge and experience from your time working with Disney to help other businesses. Can you talk a little bit about how that works and what types of activities you go through? I mean, I know one of the things you do is you actually, don't you take people through a physical Disney experience?
Yeah, we go down. I have a either a anywhere between a 2 and a 4 day in the parks experience where I'll take groups down and we'll spend half the time in a classroom going over strategies and tactics that Disney uses. And most importantly, how to adapt them to your industry or niche. And then we'll go out into the parks and we'll see all of that stuff in action. So if we're talking about, you know, attention to detail, which Disney is a very detail-oriented company, well, we'll go into the parks and we'll look at things that people don't normally look at. And really nail down those kinds of things. So going through, and at the end of the trip, at the end of the boot camp, the attendees have a blueprint, a literal roadmap on how to, what I call, Disney-fy their business. And Disney-fy, I define as creating experiences out of the mundane. So again, the greeting, the phone call, et cetera. I also have a book version of that, I guess, or a course version. So if you don't feel like going to hot and sweaty Orlando, you can get the same training without going to a theme park through what I call the Ultimate Client Experience, which is a online or you know, notebook kind of course.
But, although I imagine that the in-person experience really gets internalized a lot more. So if someone can afford to devote the time and energy for it, it probably is more meaningful. Talk a little bit about some of those examples. I mean, I've heard you know, the thing about the painting the fence and the cleaning up the spills and the gum in a you know, a finite period of time, or the way that things are displayed in the gift shops. Give us a couple of examples of what happens and why those are important.
Well, sure. You know, Disney, I'll give you a great example, is Disney is known as a storytelling company. So they don't just throw up a roller coaster and say, you know, have at it. Because honestly, if it was just a roller coaster, those things are boring. I mean, nobody would go because they're not really exciting rides until they're enveloped in a complete story. But when you get down to the nitty gritty, the minutiae, Disney has a story about everything. When I do the tour through Epcot, we'll go over to the China Pavilion. They have, if you haven't been there before, they have countries all around a lake, China being one of them. And I point out a statue on the end of the roof of the restaurant in the China Pavilion. And it's a picture of a rooster with a little guy riding on it. Now, this thing is all of maybe 18 inches tall. But I tell everybody, that is Emperor Min. He was a third century evil emperor, and he was hung for his evil ways. And so in Chinese culture, they put this out to ward off evil spirits. Now, that's a story about just one little 18-inch statue in, you know, 35,000 acres of Disney Park. Everything there has that level of detail, has that story behind it. And I think it's important that, do you need to have that about a pencil in your office? No, probably not. But having your personal story of how you got from the beginning to where you are now is extremely important. Because, I mean, remember, people do business with people. They don't do business with businesses. And your personal story sometimes is the only thing that's going to separate you from, you know, dry cleaner A, dry cleaner B, and dry cleaner C. And people will latch on to that story.
Wow. and this is just one of many, many examples. I think you said 3 days is that you spend down there?
Yeah, 3 days. Yeah.
It probably could be weeks, and you probably wouldn't cover everything.
Well, one of the fun things that we do, and I still have friends that that work for Disney. They've actually progressed. Mm-hmm. One of them is now general manager of half of Epcot. And actually, I host a special reception on one night where 3 or 4 current Disney leaders will come to a reception. No presentation, no agenda. They're just there for Q&A. Now, you can't even get that from Disney because the Disney Institute, which is their training arm, doesn't even offer that. But, you know, we kind of go in under the radar and, you know, as long as my friends aren't talking about financials, they're, you know, free to talk about. It's really where the rubber hits the road because they're all in operations. So it's not a whole bunch of HR training, you know, foo-foo stuff. It's, you know, look, my friend Dave, he's got 5,000 employees that report to him. Okay, well, how does he manage his day to get that many, you know, to manage that many employees? And it's really fascinating to listen to those things and figure out how to adapt it into your 10-person office.
I think, you know, one of the big takeaways here is that there are organizations out there that have systems in place that have been developed over time. And they've put a lot of their blood, sweat, and tears and money into it. I mean, you gave a couple of examples before we started recording of, you know, Zappos or, you know, the hotel,
Ritz-Carlton,
and Nordstrom is another one that Southwest Airlines. There's great examples, great businesses that we can model. And Disney is, you know, at the top of that list in terms of what you can learn from them. And to have somebody like you who's able to take what's going on in one of these organizations and help translate it and distill the meaning of what's happening so that a Main Street business, a small business, or even a larger organization that wants to progress in this area can really figure out how to take those things and apply them to their business. That's a great skill that you have.
Yeah, I appreciate that. You know, and you know, we've heard our crotchety old friends say this a lot of times is look outside your industry for ideas, whether it be for marketing, operations, client service, etc. Because I mean, that's where you will get. You mentioned Southwest. I mean, what more commodity business out there than airlines? And they're a low fare airline. Well, how do they manage to have such high ratings? It's all about the process and the mission, you know, that Southwest goes through. And I think those are, you know, the businesses you talked about are great examples that everybody can learn from.
So Vance Morris, we're coming to the close of our time together, and I want to make sure that if folks want to reach out to you or find you, they know how to do that. What's the best way for someone to learn more about what you do and how you might be able to help them?
Sure. Best way is actually go to my website, which is deliverservicenow.com. And there's a great blueprint. It's actually kind of the Cliff Notes version of my book. It's a free download, and it's got one example of each of my 7 magic keys. And honestly, if you just take that and implement 1 or 2 ideas from it, the power that you're going to have and the things that your clients and prospects are going to notice are going to be off the charts. And just my tagline is you won't profit unless you implement. So it's great that you go to the site and you download it, but please do something with it.
Excellent. And that's deliverservicenow.com.
Yes, sir.
Well, great. Well, Vance, thank you so much for sharing your insights and your energy with us. And I'm looking forward to more conversations about this in the future. So thank you so very much. Folks, you've been
great,
listening.
Great, David. Thanks so much for having me on. I appreciate it. Absolutely. Thank you.
You've been listening to More Perfect Marketing. My name is David Baer, and thanks for allowing us to come into your world for a little while as well. Have a great day.
You have been listening to More Perfect Marketing. For a collection of 26 smart marketing cheat sheets to help you master your marketing, please visit getdavidsgift.com. That's getdavidsgift.com. Once again, thanks for listening to More Perfect Marketing.